good thing is telling the story. What stories do you have in your life to tell? Particularly in Christian community, today is a day to celebrate the world communion, which means all Christian churches come together to celebrate communion. Communion means witnessing, commune together with each other, and commune together in the presence of God to tell the story of good news of Jesus Christ, who came to us and died for us and resurrected for us. When we use the term witnessing in the Christian church, we are talking about telling the story of Jesus Christ in our life, how God's story interacted with our story, and at the moment we are telling the story. Before I further in the conversation, I would like to have some questions for you, which I need your participation. If you first attended this church or another church because of someone invited you, would you please stand up? If you attended a church because someone invited you, could you please stand up? These are the people who realize the voice of God that came from someone else. Please sit down. And those people are in a seat. Believe it or not, you are here because somebody invited you. If you've been in church when you were young, in that moment, that times, your parents drag you out of the bed to come to the church. That is a kind of an aggressive invitation you receive from your parents. And probably in this morning, youngsters, if you received aggressive invitation, probably you are here too. And also, all of us somewhat invited by someone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Probably you, by birth, probably you born into the Christian family and you were surrounded by the Christian word and the witnessing and stories. That happened because someone in your family being invited by someone to the church, and you are being invited by someone in the house or the family or the friends in the community. Recognize it or not, all of us are invited to this Christian community by someone. Probably in the new era, Holy Spirit inspired us to be invited by through the internet message or the brochures we receive or grabbed somewhere. And we all being invited by someone through the story and gentle spirit, gentle invitation. Today's Bible lesson is from Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act towards the outsider. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Here, first, we need to define who is outsider. And then in Paul's day, he could divide the outsider into two radical racial groups, Jews and Gentiles. Yet within this group, they could have divided into hostile, indifferent, curious, interest, and an individual moving from one subgroup to another. We have these groups in our midst. In the family, probably, if you have a big family, you have someone whom you can talk more friendly and openly than other persons. For the children, probably some of you can more friendly open to your father or your mother or uncles or aunts or someone in the family. It is okay to have that special connection with someone. And then we call that negatively cliques in the family, cliques in the church, cliques at school. But in a positive statement of this special connection, we're drawn to someone. is called attraction. In the family, some were so more friendly to me than other persons. And then in the church, we saw someone said that I do not want to go to church because we have so many cliques. Let me ask you, if you are pondering about this question you receive from other people, how many of you have a best friend in your life? Raise your hand if you do have best friend. All right, many of you guys. How many of you have many friends? Raise your hand. Why do you call that best friends to be the best friend? How about the other friends that are not good friends to you? The best friend is kind of someone special in your life. And somehow you click to that person. Your spouse, think about it. And there are many men out there. Somehow this particular person you are so drawn into, even though you know that that person is not perfect. Am I talking about my hubby son? I know that he's not perfect. But somehow out of so many people, so many men out there, I'm drawn to this guy. And also, you are the same way. I believe there are so many men out there. Wife, you are so drawn to this particular man, and you decide to have a family with this particular man. And then the men, there are so many beautiful women. Miss America, right? But somehow, you are drawn to the person who is not so perfect according to your judgment, but so drawn to this person. Why? Because special affection, special interest, somehow a spark is there. And you made a commitment to create covenant relationship with your special person. You call sometimes a wife, you call sometimes a husband, you call sometimes, you are my best friend. Our best friend, out of the all friend, you call this person to be the best because you feel that this person can understand you much better than anyone else. And also you can hear the person's call and the stories. You share the things together. In church, we do not need to do the same thing over and over. We do not need to like everything together. Some people are so musically talented. That's why we have a music ministry in here for the people to have opportunity to share their giftedness. And we have amazing, amazing music team in here. And yet, even though the person who likes music, who is not gifted in the music, they cannot be part of it because it will create a disaster. Think of my hubby, for example. Since he is not here in this service, I'm going to single him out for that. And he loves music, but he cannot sing. So whenever people sing, he tried to silence his voice as much as he can. He tried to dance along the music because he loves music. But if we put him in the music team, and Ron will have a disaster time or a very strong challenge at the moment to make a good story or the melody out of him. And some people are so good at telling the stories or lead the people through the readings or through the mission work. And we give these opportunities to everyone to participate by offering their gift to the Lord and in the kingdom of God. It is okay to have outsider around us. We do not need to force ourselves, everyone, to be the person like us. The church, we do not make a cookie Christians in this community, especially in the Methodist church. We are driven by grace and respect that special gift God given to each one of us. We respect each other's the differences. And that is one of the flavor I really love about the Methodist Christians. In this morning, one of the person joined the church. By upbringing, he was a Lutheran Christian. By marriage, he became a Presbyterian Christian. By living together with amazingly devoted Methodist Christian wife and daughter, he decided to join the church particularly our Redeemers of the United Methodist Church, because he feels that Christian community should be the way he experienced at home through his wife and daughter. That is a witness. We do not need to aggressively talk to other people and believe Christ, otherwise you're going to go to hell. That kind of witness we are not talking about in a Methodist church. In Methodist church, witnessing is about grace and love. God loves you and me. God wants us to have a joy of salvation, coming together as a community. Jesus had an example of the attitude, what kind of attitude we needed to have for the outsiders. And before he performed the miracle of feeding of the 5,000, Jesus was filled with compassion for the multitude because he saw them as a sheep with a shepherd. Compassionate heart. And another one is a prayer Jesus made on the cross for the soldiers who were executing him. This is obvious that he has passion for outsiders. Whatever outsiders you and I can define, we are here to embrace outsiders in a respect in the name of Jesus Christ and to tell the story what God put in your heart. The reason for witness is not because we need to solve the finance problem in the church or fill in the pew or grow the church. But witness, the pure purpose of witnessing is to connect this amazing person to Lord so this person will know that they are being loved by God and then they can bring the joy of salvation into their heart. Pure purpose we have witnessing in this congregation is love for other people. God loves us and God loves everyone. This loving story needed to be told to other people to realize how lovable they are. In the news media we are keep hearing everyday life does not tell the story of good news, does not tell the story of love. It tells about how violent community we do live, how dysfunctional life we are living in this community. But good news of Jesus Christ is telling that it is okay to be in a dark state of our lives, and yet the light of Christ is there. You are not alone. God will strengthen you to get through the difficult time of your life. The one phrase I want us to concentrate on in this morning is make the most of every opportunity. Repeat after me if you are able. Make the most of every opportunity. Let's say it one more time. Make the most of every opportunity. Believe it or not, this year I had so many funerals. I've been in ministry 15 plus a year as ordained ministers of the United Methodist Church. But I never had this many funerals in my life per year. Even though this year has not been finished yet, I never had this many funerals in my life in ministry. I hope that the one I did yesterday will be the last one. It is very hard on me. At the same time, at the funeral, I learned that how people are making stories or not making, telling the story of the person, how good that person is. And then through that, I'm learning that we needed to make the most out of all things that we've been given. Make the most of every opportunities. Life is very short. And we do not know what will happen tomorrow, probably right after this worship service. Make the most out of every single moment you have in your life without having a regret. Let us relive this moment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23, "For those I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jew I became as a Jew in order to win Jew. for Christ. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. Those not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. That I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. That I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people. That by all means, I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessing. All for all because of Jesus Christ loved this person so we might win someone. For making the most of every opportunity, Paul asked us to speak. However, Paul detailed the two prerequisites before we are ready to speak individually to another person. The first one is, let your speech always be gracious. And the second is that it should be seasoned with salt. Be gracious to each other. Paul describes such a speech in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Consciously count how many words of blessing are you making out of your mouth throughout the day? And how many words of corrupting talk are we making? Consciously analyze your speech pattern from now on, and then you will be very surprised. You will be very surprised. Our speech in general should reflect the fact that we belong to heaven, that we have been delivered from the old way of life. Here, I'll try to summarize it as much as I can. Many of you know that I'm not a good cook. When the statement comes in this passage, our speech should be seasoned with the salt. So I did some research about the function of a salt. And salt prevented a piece of food go wrong. And then it means that the Christian speech should prevent unwholesome talk. Salt can create an aspect of taste in a particular items of a food that did not anticipate. So a Christian, by his speech, can introduce into a conversation aspect that the other person may not have realized exist. Salt also was used to confirm covenants or agreements between individuals. So a Christian should insert into conversation suitable elements of the covenant that exists between him and God and with others. When we speak in such a way with other Christians, then we will know how to speak with other outsiders. We need to practice this gracious talk and seasoned talk among ourselves, in your family, at school, at church, wherever you are first, before we define who you are, the outsiders. If we become adopting this habit of gracious talk and seasoned talk, and other people outside can be receptive of the message of Jesus Christ you would like to share more graciously. As a closing, I would like to share a story. This story is about Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection, and then his ascension into heaven. This story is not in the Bible, so try not to look up the Bible to get this story. This story goes like this. When Jesus arrived in heaven, he is greeted at the front gate by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel asked Jesus, how things went for him down on earth. And so Jesus tells him about his ministry, his teaching, and how some people didn't understand him and became so upset with him that they actually conspired to silence him and crucify him on the cross. Gabriel became very concerned and said, "What will happen now? I mean, what will become of your ministry and all the things you put in place for people?" Jesus replied, "Well, Gabriel, I gave the message to Peter and to James and John and to others. I asked them to pass it on to the world and for the generation to give, to the next generation. Gabriel looked at Jesus and said, "But Lord, what if Peter, James, and John don't tell anyone about the story you've given to them? I mean, what if someone drops the ball and it does not pass it on? What then? Do you have a plan B?" Jesus looked up at Gabriel with a concerned expression on his face too. "Well, Gabriel, I do not have a plan B," he said softly to the angel Gabriel. "I don't have any plan than this plan. I have put all my eggs in their basket. I am counting on them. I trust them. I believe in them. So I have no concern. I believe that the Lord is counting on us to pass on the story God given to us. Visual form of this story is right in front of you in this morning. The story we are telling to other people. This is a story of love, a story of grace,